What is that?
I just hit shuffle.
Are you kidding? This universe. Excuse me.
We should listen to one random song a day, you know? We end up hearing more songs we didn't like, but we discover a lot more that we did.
It's rich. It's alive. It's vivid. Stereophonic sound.
Are you fed up with constantly searching for the records you want?
These kids' real teachers are these satanic musical things.
Every one of my records means something. The label, the producer, the year it was made.
I'm teaching you about rock music.
Seriously, you're totally elitist. You feel like the unappreciated scholars.
Okay, let's spin a disc.
Howdy, hi, and welcome to Cut by Cuts, Flipping of the Record, Week 1.
Whoa.
We here at Cut by Cut Podcasts are more than entertainment. That's true. Most people don't know, but we have an entire Cut by Cut research facility, and we are putting it to good use. Chris, do you want to talk about our Chrononauts?
Yeah, we've got two Chrononauts.
That was a good story. Yep. I know it's top secret, but you have clearance.
They've recently discovered
technology
that gives us the capabilities
uh-huh.
of traveling through time and space.
And it turns out that Ivanka Trump was, in fact, into punk.
Yeah. Yeah, they went to her an old apartment that they used to live in when they were just getting started. You know, we're not just getting... When she was just...
Right. When the Trumps didn't have it so easy. I know what you're saying.
Yeah. It was an old brownstone.
Yep.
Down there in that place where they lived, and they discovered under one of the floorboards a time capsule.
Yes, and in it was a Maxell 60-minute tape.
Yeah.
Marked less Trump, more punk.
Yeah.
Or more punk, less Trump, I
Either
believe
way,
it was called. And
it's unclear in the notes I have. We're going to play for our fine listeners.
That's an amazing idea, because this, I think, will prove once and for all that Ivanka was punk rock.
Yeah. It's a pretty good set list.
I know.
I couldn't have crafted a better one myself.
I suggest we just hit play and see where it takes us. All right.
Song one, here it comes.
Efficiency in progress is ours once more. Now that we have the neutron bomb, it's nice and quick and clean and gets things done. Away with the
kill the poor tonight. Convenience. prison in my home. Chucking bracelet on my leg, someone never leaving me alone. What have I got out here with all this liberty? Some put me on the inside and I'll get a law degree. Let's go up the river, let's go off to jail. Let's go to the big house, let's go to jail. Getting off with good behavior, free food, good friends, fun times. I'm not afraid of the chain gang. You won't need to guard me, cause I'm no defiant one. So throw away the key, then throw it on my mail to the penitentiary. Let's go up the river, let's go off to jail. Let's go to the big house, let's go to jail.
Chris, so without a set list, what did you find, or what songs did you recognize? Because I first recognized the Dead Kennedys' Kill the Poor.
Can't miss Jello Biafra's signature croon.
That is exactly the truth. My worry is that it's possible that Ivanka doesn't have a sense of irony or doesn't understand sarcasm. Because there's some stuff that happens in Kill the Poor, like the calling out of Jello Biafra to kill the poor in a very Jonathan Swift, modest proposal kind of way, which is meant to be dark humor and satire.
Well, let's enter the mind of a young conservative woman.
Okay.
Being brought up in a conservative household.
Sure,
maybe
yeah.
She's not conservative yet.
Yeah, no, I'm with you.
But the name of the band is Dead Kennedys, like right off the bat.
Right, that had to have been some kind of allure right there.
Right, let's do it, right? Spin this disc.
Yes, exactly. So what was the next track on there?
The next one was one of my favorite bands from the 90s hardcore scene, Judge.
Now, you were a frequenter of the 90s hardcore scene. Did you ever run into her on the floor?
Well, I didn't, and I was too young to make a Judge show.
Uh-huh.
They were kind of a short-lived band, but... they came and went into other hardcore bands in the area. But the songs that Judge wrote were very significant to my entrance into the hardcore music. They're one of the first ones I really got into. And this one in particular was a good one about, trying to find your place. Who's like me? Who are my friends?
And that makes a lot of sense for a young Ivanka.
The building of the hardcore as a community, if you will.
Yeah, of course, of course.
You might be moshing and knock me down, but you're going to pick me up. We're here for fun. We're brothers, sisters.
She probably had a security detail. So I would imagine when the pit opened up, it legitimately opened up.
Yeah, well, you imagine them just backing up the circle.
Exactly.
So she could get in the middle.
So every kind of shaved head, sleeveless, black t-shirt wearing punk or skin suddenly found themselves at the hands of what could only be considered a black suited thug.
Yeah.
I mean, I hate to sell a security detail as that, but let's face it.
It's kind of their job.
Right. I mean, the presence of just opening up that pit must have been... like watching Moses part the Red Sea.
Yeah, yeah.
Biblical. in its proportion, I can sure, only imagine. Yeah. So the next one on here, it's funny that she had Judge because the next track is Embrace,
yeah,
which was Ian McKay's post-Minor Threat Egg Hunt entrance into Fugazi.
Right, yeah, that little
incidental creation of, well, I mean, Rites of Spring, but focusing more on the emo side of things.
Yeah, a little more, whatever, I don't know the word I'm going to use there.
That opening line, I can only imagine that when you're a teenager and you're trying to find your place and how you're going to struggle against your parents and what sort of role you're going to play in your teenage rebellion, Ian's opening lines about not giving a fuck about money, that must have been a great tune to blare from your speakers.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, also, she didn't really have to give a care about money.
No, right. So maybe she means that literally. Like, I know I honestly don't give a fuck about money.
You stop asking me.
She takes another wad of hundreds and puts them on the fire to keep
warm. I'll buy your ice cream cone too.
Yeah. Yeah. What? what was after Embrace? I didn't know that song.
Oh, the next one was No Effects Jam.
Yeah.
Again, a little bit of what you wonder about the irony here. But I believe at some point Fat Mike was getting under some kind of criticism about trying to control what was and was not punk rock.
I find it hard to believe that Fat Mike was at the center of any controversy.
And so he wrote a jam about it, how it is, in fact, his job to decide what is punk.
That makes sense. And I would imagine that speaks volumes now to the interneters and the Twitterers and the people who are attacking Ivanka for not being punk enough, or maybe not carrying on, or as the Trouble would say, as hanging up her boots.
Yeah,
you know, and that's got to be a hard decision when you want to take that next journey. You know, we can't all be the Henry Rollins of the world and stay punk until you're 60.
When you go out, get your hair did all up blue like you wanted it, you've been dreaming about, like you've been seeing at some of the basement shows you've been going to.
Yeah,
and on some of the other kids and whatnot. And then you get home and mom makes you go to the store and get the stuff that takes the color
You gotta go to Rodeo Drive, or you gotta go to Tiffany's and you have to get, you know, fitted for a Donna Karan outfit and Jimmy Choo shoes or something along those lines. I would imagine that's something that most kids don't grow up with, that kind of hardship.
Right.
So you need to name your place, right? You need to kind of say where you're going to be and how you're going to be there, right? You need to be in charge of a scene.
Right.
Showcase Showdown was a Boston punk band who actually appeared on there. I'm pretty impressed because that was a, you know, they weren't huge outside of New England.
Right.
So Let's Go to Jail. That was impressive to see that on there. And more impressive was the fact that the German band Spermbirds appeared on there right after it. I mean, so
she's getting international with her punk.
She really had her finger on the pulse, I think, of a lot of what was going on.
Well, you know, Europe gobbles up the American hardcore. They love it.
Yeah, you know? They do American. I think they did, I believe... one of the quotes I heard about this was, they do Orange County hardcore better than the U.S.
Yeah, and you know, you'll have a bands that are around here can't sell out, you know, a 50-person bar to play a show, and they go over there and they're playing to hundreds of people. They're just consuming this and love it and put it out. They make that, you know, even hardcore guys feel like a rock star, you know, so.
Totally, totally.
I love the fact that, you know, here's a young lady, already a world traveler at a young age and soaking up the international hardcore scene.
Well, you know, look, you fly to Germany for the night. You're only there for, you know, dinner with the folks.
Yeah.
You know, you're probably at some 5-star Michelin restaurant, maitre d' in room service with turndown.
Mingling with some prime minister or something.
And you just got to vent. You just got to let it go. And so you do that by catching a Spermbirds show. I mean, you just...
Imagine the hell she must have caught for showing up home in her new Spermbirds t-shirt.
Let's flip this over.
Yep.
Because side two is unbelievably interesting. So I'm going to give you the honors.
To flip it?
Yeah.
Flip it now?
Real good.
There we go. It's flipped.
The special effects for this episode are like 20% of our budget for the year. I'm just saying.
Part-time punks. They play their records way down. They poke our individuals.
right, welcome back.
And hey there, that was intense.
Wasn't that incredible? That was a pretty fantastic set. A lot of our favorites.
Yeah, right off the top, that first song. You know, she went a little. It was kind of like post-punk a little with the Nirvana. But early 90s Nirvana, so still not.
Now that's off Bleach, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Negative Creep, just the chorus there. Daddy's little girl's not a girl no more. Woof.
That's saying everything that needs to be said. Yeah. I think if the Don was listening, he would hear a girl who is hurting and a girl who just wants to be understood and heard and appreciated for the young woman she is blossoming into.
Totally agree.
And what I like about it was, see, a lot of people give her crap right now about being into Nirvana. She was into Bleach Nirvana. She wasn't talking Nevermind.
I know.
She wasn't all about In Utero. She wasn't like, oh, Unplugged is my favorite album, which is actually a freaking concept. You know, it's a greatest hits collection. Right. She was Bleach. She was there from right from the start in the heart of that movement. So she was amazingly keyed into the world around her.
Yeah.
That smacks of not just being aware, but being a trendsetter. And I actually hold her responsible for turning Sub Pop on and creating that Portland scene.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah, they don't write about it much, but she was there. She was doing all
probably
that
responsible
stuff.
For how grunge kind of was more of a fashion statement then.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
As well, you know.
Yeah, she woke up one day throwing a plaid shirt, and that was it, man.
Setting that trend.
Suddenly, all of
all she wanted
Northwestern America was on fire.
All she wanted to do was rock out, and she started a trend.
People also don't know, she was an early Against Me fan.
Ooh.
And so those anarcho-punks are mysterious, you know, kind of predicting her father's rise to fame. I think that maybe the Don, hanging out outside her door one night, hears we're all presidents, we're all congressmen, we're all cops, and says,
yeah,
yeah,
yeah, I can do this.
Yeah, I could be.
So the Don might be soaking this stuff, even though he's maybe not totally for.
Yeah,
you can't picture him. The door's shut. You know, she's got it locked from the inside.
Oh, she's blaring it. You know that she's got amazing speakers, and she's just pumping it through that brownstone. And he's downstairs trying to read the Wall Street Journal, making every effort to sound out the words. You know, he's hearing these things. And he's like, yeah, I can do this. What followed that Against Me song?
So that was a jam. Again, another one. She's striking me right in the zone here. Where
She's striking me right in the music nuts.
Right in the music nuts. That was Earth Crisis.
Uh-huh.
With one of their early songs called Firestorm. And it's a song about taking the streets back, getting rid of the drug lords and the pushers.
So she's making America great again.
Exactly. Basically.
That makes more sense than it should.
What's better than a song that starts off street by street, block by block, taking it all back? The youth immersed in violence, turn the tides, counterattack. So she's talking about taking it back.
Yeah.
This is a youth feeling the angst of the burdened, and the less fortunate around her.
And I can only imagine the possible misinterpretation of those lyrics by a young presidential candidate, you know, who's thinking that it has to be done violently. In Earth Crisis, you know, they were known for their aggression, but again, the aggression was part of the scene. It wasn't intended, I don't know, to for everyone to go out and just punch cigarette smokers.
No, they were considered like the militant straight edge kind of wave of some of the hardcore music.
So the alt edge.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't actually going out and violence. But certainly singing with a hard stance.
Sure. I chose The Brat, a song called Attitudes. This was early 78. 80 or 81, one of those numbers is in my head. Oh yeah, I mean, it was a strong woman-fronted band. They were formed in the barrios of L.A., okay. And they were sort of the pioneers of Chicano punk.
Oh, sweet.
Again, Ivanka taking a very early stance on not just emigration and immigration into the United States, but this concept that, for America to be great and for punk to be great, it needs to be eclectic and it needs to contain a million different voices.
Sure.
And I applaud her for her selection as that is a track.
This is a fine mix so far.
Yeah, I don't think that we could have made a better one, quite honestly. television personalities were kind of a British art punk band. I don't know how best to explain them, and people who are fans of them probably know better. But their track Part-Time Punk, because Ivanka's putting her foot down. This is what she's not. She is to the bone from the streets, making her own t-shirts. This is the 90s. It wasn't a hot topic that you could own the entire chain for. You know, most stuff was being made by the bands.
Sure.
She was part of that early pioneering. And of course, Fears' Let's Have a War was even better.
Good way to close out the side.
Well, it's funny you should say that, because she doesn't close out the side with that. I purposely stopped the cassette one song shy.
Oh, damn, you fooled me.
Yep, and I thought that...
Dirty tricks, sir.
I had, you know, kind of saw that there was a little bit of tape left, and you can hear the hiss before that last ka-chunk, and I knew it wasn't happening, so I paused it, because I wanted to talk about these songs. Let's play the last song, and then we'll just kind of say our goodbyes.
Okay.
And then we'll go... How are you?
How was that jam?
I love this Social Distortion track And again, I think it's bold of her, you know, the lines, history books are full of lies, you know, the idea that she's predicting the rise of
her pops,
fake media.
Fake
she's
media,
rise,
fake
you know,
news.
She's already questioning
alternative facts,
the world around her and the way in which reality can be manipulated and warped or perceived or, I don't know, presented. And then the line, you know, your granddaddy's in the Ku Klux Klan. And it's a celebration of her past. You know, she's saying, look, I want to be this future, but I'm also proud of my past. And I understand and I recognize. I mean, there's not many punk songs that talk about being in the Klan. And she gravitated towards that. And that meant something to her. So I think that the Ivanka...
She's making me nervous right now is what's happening.
Well, I mean, you can see it with the Earth Crisis stuff, right?
Yeah,
you can see it with that line. But I ultimately think that she understands the punk ethos. She understands the DIY. She understands the idea that to really make yourself great and to make the world around you great, what is it, act globally and think locally.
Yeah.
That you really need to make these first best steps.
Well, sometimes you got to break a few eggs, you know, to make an omelet.
Sure. I totally agree. Well, thank you to the Chrononauts who have gone back in time.
Risking life and limb.
Seriously.
Risking the very existence and the very space-time continuum.
Totally. I'd like to thank Steve Ibach, who he did this kind of ultraviolet radiation on the cassette sticker, the label, right? And he was able to figure out that it was called More Punk, Less Trump.
Yeah.
Right? The signature of an angry 16, 17-year-old girl.
And
right?
Scrawled in a Sharpie, no less.
Yeah, yeah. I want to thank Matt Richards for figuring out the Showcase Showdown song, Let's Go to Jail, and saying that that's what it was.
Yep.
And working in our labs to figure that out. And thank you most of all to our friend Rufus Daglow, who works for 2000 AD. He has done work for Tank Girl. He has an amazing four-issue series out. I think it was from Vertigo, called Last Gang in Town.
Yep.
So if you like that style of frenetic Tank Girl humor, then, I mean, the stuff for Last Gang of Town is amazing.
Rufus kindly took time out of his day and his busy schedule to act as our cut-by-cut international punk consultant for the episode. So thank you so much, sir.
And he did it. He said, you know, I'll do it. But no lab coat. And I was like, but, we kind of
have uniforms. Here,
I know. But you know what? That's fine. You know, having him on the team for this was significantly more important than adhering to our strict no static dress code.
Damn punks and their nonconformity.
I know. But that's all right. We thank him extremely
super cool, man.
For
thank
both
you.
His help. And we thank you. Next week. We're still going to be on hiatus, but we're going to provide you the show of a lifetime.
Hell yeah. We have in store a jam-packed Halloween special episode.
I call it the Halloween episode.
Halloween.
I'm sorry for that, folks.
So, we're looking forward to it. We're excited to...
You want to give a little teaser what we're going to talk about?
Oh, man, we have a couple of tracks we're going to talk about that don't make it on Walk Among Us. Our... Top 5 Misfits songs, and we've got something that I'm not going to tell you about.
I want to
and some other Halloween goodies. So,
all right. Well, again, if you are not following us on Instagram, please do at Cut by Cut.
Send us podcast.
Cut by Cut podcast. Check us out at cutbycut.com.
Yep.
Head over to Threadless, and you can buy yourself a Murderlation T-shirt.
Yeah, we got a couple of T-shirts. We'll get up there soon.
If you love the show and support the show, and you don't want to buy any of our product. Please, please, please go to iTunes. Give us the rating you think we deserve. Hopefully it's a 4 or a 5. You don't have to write a review, although just write. The show is better than being bludgeoned.
Better than writing in silence.
It's better than being alone with my thoughts. Whatever you want to do.
Tell a friend.
Tell a friend. That's the best stuff you can do. We're not asking for money. We provide all this stuff for free.
Punks hang out together, right?
Not, I don't know if anybody hangs out with each other in this day and age. Moral of the story is if you love the show, please share the show. Just last real quick, again, thanks to Rufus Daglow. Thanks to Matt Richards. Thanks to Steve Ibach. Thanks to Mike Lucier at Art Freak Tattoo.
Get some ink, people. By the way, Mike, if you happen to listen to this episode, we're taking credit for your misfit. You've run off quite a few Misfit-inspired tattoos lately.
And we are taking full credit.
We're taking credit for putting those seeds in your brain. They're beautiful tattoos. Eric and I are even considering getting matching ones.
Is that weird?
It's kind of weird.
All right, that's how we're ending.
Yeah.
Last week I was watching Saturday Night Live. There was a band, their singer had bleached hair. They were talking about stuff I could relate to. Said put Bon Jovi in the trunk and tape the clock. Today we go on tour, punk rock. People ask me why I said anarchy. Today we go on tour, punk rock. No, I couldn't take days with an attitude and a strut. My hair used to be brown, but now it's two shades of blue. My parents say, who you trying to offend? I said, fuck you! Today we go, I turn punk rock. People ask me why I said anarchy. Today we go, I turn punk rock. Now I walk the day with Denny's with the attitude and a strut. Used to be Billy Joel at NSS, but now it's more like Screech and Weasel. And now I'm fat. I'm into the seat so much that anything good comes around.